Just that, you think about that marshmallow and the struggle is real, right? You're wanting to grab that thing and maybe even taste just a little piece of it, put it back, smell it. Like they've never smelled a marshmallow. What does this smell like? I wonder. I am just so curious about, this one. And when we think about it, we think about choices. Choices, that we have choices to make. And the name of this message this morning is You Choose. You Choose. Today we come to the end of our Joshua series. I was looking back and we started in February our Joshua series. And we're bringing it to a close here today. And it's here you'll find one of the most quoted verses of the Bible. It's found in the second half of Joshua 24:15. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Could you say that with me? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's an intention. It's intentional that we close our series today and close with Joshua 24. It's intentional that we're having a family service. Joshua is not just speaking to men. He is speaking to the whole family unit. And I would say, for those of you that are single, again, he's talking to your house right here. That we know even in the scripture in the New Testament that the house of God, where is it? It's no longer in a temple, but we are the what? The temple of the Holy Spirit, right? So each of us kind of have our own house going on here, and then the house that we build with our family goes on as well. He's talking to all of Israel. And we know this in Joshua 24:1. It says that Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. It's here in Shechem. So why does Joshua pick this place? Right? Why does he pick this place? Is it just a fun name to say? Shechem, Shechem, Shechem. It's like Sikkim, but not, right? Shechem. Why does he pick this place? Well, he actually has a very good reason. Because in Genesis 12, God tells Abraham to leave Haran, leave his parents, leave the extended family, and take his family and go to where he promises. He says, you're going to go to the land of Canaan. And it's here in Genesis 12, 2-3, that God says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and you and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It's from you, Abraham, that all these blessings on earth are going to come from your family. Isn't it true? Aren't you blessed because of Abraham? Right? I am. Because again, the gospel came through Abraham's line and it would affect all the nations, every tribe, every people. Amen? And it's spreading around the world. But what's so awesome that Joshua grabs a hold of, it is here in Genesis 12:7 where the Lord says to Abraham, he appears to him and he says, to your descendants, I will give this land right here, right where you stand. And Joshua takes them back to the very same spot and says, this land we're standing on right now is ours because God promised it. And it's being fulfilled right here. It's fulfilled in your hearing. You're standing on the promises of God. Remember that old school song, old hymn? Standing, standing on the promises of God, right? That we literally are standing on the promises of God, people of Israel. That's what he says. And he says, let's have this final speech that I'm going to give you before I go to be with the Lord. Let's have it there. Have you ever went back to an important place where you stood? I met Holly's friend, Penny, and they were classmates together, and I was talking to Penny's husband, Tim, and he told me that day was their anniversary. I believe it was 32 years, and so they came a-knocking on the Mitchell Wesleyan Church because that's where they got married 32 years ago. They live out of town. They actually live in Minnesota, and they were coming back, and they knock on the doors, and actually it's the church is getting ready to close up and leave, and they, Tim and Penny, tell their story, and they open up the church, and they get to stand in the same place where they got married 32 years ago. And that meant a lot to them. It meant a lot to them. You know, the church looked a lot different. The design was a lot different, 30 years different, right? But it was the same place where their marriage took place. There's something about coming back to places where you made covenants. It was in Shechem where Abraham made a covenant to God to follow him all the days of his life. It would be on this very spot where Joshua would call the people back to not only God's fulfilled promise, but the promise they made to God. A lot of times when we think in Christianity, we think about God's promises and the promises he's making to us. But have you thought about, have you dwelt on the promises that you've made to God? The promises that you said that you would keep. The promises that you made to him. And Joshua calls them to do this as a family, as a people. Think about this, the exhortation to be faithful to the Lord and to purify themselves from all idolatry could not fail to make a deep impression in the place where the honored patriarch Abraham would reject idols and say, I'm worshiping the true and the living God right here. On this ground in Shechem, right here. And they are exhorted to do the same thing. Joshua is calling the people to do the same thing Abraham did. This is a very public action. It's a very communal action. Today we're going to be having communion as families, right? We're going to have communion where we're saying we're committed together as a family. And we're taking the body and the blood of Christ together as a family of God. There's a reason that marriage, the marriage ceremony, has all your family and friends there. It's not so they can just go, woo, or aw, or yay, right? It's not for just the fanfare, right? It is so that when you're going through, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, they can go, stick with it. Stay strong. Stay committed. I was there on that day when you made that commitment. I was there on that day when you made that vow. You can do it. That's why they're there. It's fun to have a cheering squad, man. I'm a hoot and holler kind of guy. But that's the purpose that they're there for. And Joshua's speech here is the preamble to a covenant. It's an old covenant. Its very existence connects to God who took Abraham, led him, brought him and their fathers out and delivered them and finally gave them the land. And God stands in his purpose in the long haul and he cares about his people. And for all these reasons, they can have confidence in a future with him. It's kind of like renewing your vows. It's a renewing that confidence in him. They can make a promise this day and know that God will keep his end of the promise and that he already has. We're so finite and he is so infinite. He's been keeping his promises for a long time. And even if I live to be 100 years, that's a very small amount of time that I need to keep my promise. He's been keeping it for a much longer time. And there's more. Having done so much, God, their creator, commands them now to serve. That's hard for us in the United States. We don't like when people command you to do things, right? We don't like when our boss commands us to grab this or do this. But God is still the boss, amen? He's still the leader of our lives. And so he is commanding to serve. But catch this. He doesn't make them. It's their choice. It's their choice. And Joshua gives this final speech, and although the God of the universe gives this command, they have a choice. But guess what? Me and you have a choice. So our first main point this morning is God doesn't make you choose him. God who creates and commands will not merely compel. I love this. I was looking in one of the commentaries, and the commentary uses this merely compel. And that almost seems like an oxymoron, right? Merely compel. Compel sounds so strong. Merely sounds so little. But they put these two words together, and he says he doesn't merely compel them. This is not forced. He offers a choice with the possibility that they might find undesirable. Unless this choice is freely made and worked out with our faithfulness, it will be nothing to God. He's saying, man, you know, God could make you say some words. But at the end of the day, if you don't really believe it, if you're not really making this commitment, you're not going to follow through. It's just going to be a bunch of words. Unless this choice is freely made and worked out with our faithfulness, it will be nothing to God. If God is so open, his agent, and who's his agent in this passage? Not Nationwide is on your side. Okay, that's not what I mean by agent, right? That his agent is Joshua, right? He is the communicator. He is the one sharing this. And Joshua cannot compel either, but he can only exhort and he can lead. And Joshua claims, as for me this day, a choice will be made. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How did Israel respond? Well, when we look in Joshua 24, we know that Israel responded favorably. They responded with obedience. But I love this. They say, yeah, well, we're in it. I promise. And Joshua is now, he's saying, now let's look right at the text, and we're going to do a little comparison here today of versions of the Bible. New NIV and ESV here, okay? But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. This translation is from the NIV. In fact, this may seem absurd to us, but in the ESV, it says, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day who you will serve, whom you will serve. And then he names off the gods they could serve. Now, I want you to understand that NIV is a good starting point. It's an idea for idea. It's not word for word. It's idea for idea, and it's written for ninth graders, okay? I'm not trying to be insulting or whatever, but it's for a ninth grade education. That's who the NIV is written for. English Standard Version, the NASB, the NKJV, all of these are written kind of for a higher level English understanding, okay? And they do more of a word-for-word translation. Now here, I'm going to dissect this verse here quickly, and I'm going to share with you, the English Standard Version makes it real raw. And like I said, it's almost absurd. It's not just if serving the Lord seems undesirable. It is if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord. Let that sink in for just a second. I put this contrast in strong words out there. I want to say that I lean more towards the word-for-word translation, the ESV, than the idea-for-idea translation found in the NIV. But also I bring this up because of what they both show forth. When you get married, sometimes it's undesirable for you to serve your spouse. You wake up, and today you wake up selfish, and you don't want to serve them. You don't want to do the responsibilities and the things that come with marriage. And it's rough, right? And I'm in a covenant, though. I made a choice a long time ago, personally. And I have a clan. It's called the Potter Clan. And my children have only aided to strengthen the commitment I made to my wife. And guess what? There are days when I don't feel like serving them. And guess what? There are days, ladies, I'm sure that you hear me, that there are times where your husband not only has bad breath, but a bad attitude. And it's hard to serve him. It's hard to serve the family. There are days where you say, is this what I signed up for? If you're in a family, guess what? You're committed because your parents made a decision and it was sealed in blood. That's kind of gross, right? But true. But there comes a time for all of us to come to an age where we decide, as for me and my house, everybody point to their heart and say, my house. One more time. That's right, my house. So there's coming to a time where you come to what we call an age of accountability, where you're old enough to understand the gospel, and you say, this house, I'm committing to the Lord. And I'm committing to the Lord for life. So whether I get married or whether I'm like Paul and I never marry, I'm committed to the Lord. And this house is going to serve the Lord. There's a time for a decision to be made. So back to ESV, if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. This really gets down to brass tacks. What do you believe about God? The Bible says that God is good. In fact, a man will come up to Jesus and say, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus will say, why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Jesus has a way with words, doesn't he? Because in this statement, he is making a declaration that he's in fact God incarnate. You're calling me good teacher, but guess what? You're not just calling me, hey, you're a good guy. You're a good guy. No, it's not just you're a good guy. You're a chip off the old block. No, Jesus is saying when you call me good, you're calling me God because only God is good. And what do we know about the rich young ruler? He says, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus starts sharing the covenant, right? He starts sharing the covenant. And he said, these things I've all done. And then Jesus hits a nerve. And isn't it hard when Jesus actually knows our hearts and knows when he hits our nerve? And he says, this one thing I need you to do. Give everything you have away to the poor and come be a disciple of mine. What an opportunity. What an opportunity. We look at it as like, is Jesus telling everybody that they have to give up all their money? This is not a stick up, okay? All right, he's not saying to every person that the reason why he says you have to give up your money is like he's saying this one thing holds you. This one thing has become an idol in your life. And guess what? I see it with God eyes. And I'm telling you, you need to give that up. But if you'll give up that idol that's really secret, hidden behind the covenant, hidden behind rule keeping, and you'll actually give me everything, you'll be right up there with Peter, James, John. You'll be another disciple. Come on. Come on. Join me. And it says that he went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful because he was very rich. And he went away sorrowful because he didn't want to give up the idol in his life. He was standing in front of God incarnate, God in the flesh, and Jesus touched a nerve. He gets at the root of the man's heart problem. And guess what? Joshua is touching a nerve in Joshua 24. Joshua is getting to the root of the problem as well. Is God evil? No, thank you. He is not. He's everything opposite of evil. So don't try to go to broken cisterns, to broken containers, to get the river of life, to get the water of life. God wants you to go straight to the source. The waters are clean and pure. And he's like, if you really believe God is good, If he's evil, then just go follow the other gods. But if you really believe that he is who he says he is, then you'll give him everything. If he is really who he says he is, you'll abandon the stuff that your grandfather did, that your great-grandfather did, all the hang-ups that they had, all the secret idols that they had, all the stuff that they used to have back in Mesopotamia, you'll give it up. Because you really, truly believe that God is good. And guys, we're not too far from Joshua 24, where there are times in our lives where we say, God, you're good, but I'd rather hold on to this sin. God, you're good, but I'm going to this other idol and this other thing that I've really made my God. God, you're good. And Joshua paints a very staunch picture. If it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, go somewhere else. But if really this is really the truth, he is really who he says he is, he is the beginning and the end, he is the Alpha and the Omega, as we know he's the A to the Z. If he's not evil and he's everything good, stop going to other sources to try to fill that desire of fulfillment and purpose. That's called idolatry. And you can have the label Christian on you. You could have the label Israelite right on you. But that doesn't mean you're serving the Lord. Just because I could put a Disney World chef on my shirt, and it could be a really nice shirt, and I could even be standing in Disney World and say, ha ha, I'm Mickey, ha ha, okay? Or I could go, right? And I could try to talk like Donald, right? But the fact is, although that I have the shirt, although that I'm even doing the voice, it's not me. And Joshua's like, you could be wearing the Israelite shirt. You could have the name tag. You can even do the voice. But are you really a follower of Yahweh? Have you really said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? We will serve the Lord. And Joshua's getting old. He's about to go and be with the Lord. He knows that he can't be present. He can't be watching over them to see if they do or they don't. Has your mom ever done that, trying to keep you in line, right? Come on, follow, go this way, go this way. There's coming a time where mom won't be there. Are you still going to go the same way? It's great to have that guidance, but Joshua's are not always going to be there. Have you made that commitment so firm down in your heart that you would follow him no matter what? That you would say, as for me and my house, now I'm not just going to listen to Joshua. I'm going to teach it to my kids. I'm going to teach to my grandkids. I'm going to teach to everybody I have influence over. I'm going to lead this house in a manner that would honor God. And that's what this sermon is about today. That's what this sermon is about this morning, is going back to the source of all goodness, to not going towards the counterfeit. You don't just love when you love God when you feel like it. Like marriage, you don't just serve when you desire your spouse or when you laugh at the fun moments in parenting, and there are those great moments. But you love you do that action when it's horrible, when things are rough, when nothing makes sense. You hold on when your world seems like it seems to be torn apart. You keep the covenant because although you may not see now with your eyes right now, you know God is good. That no one is pure goodness except God alone. Joshua here discourages a mere enthusiastic response. And this day I do too. Joshua faces the pastor's dilemma. It's his duty to persuade, but it's his decision. But his decision, induced merely by his persuasiveness, will evaporate like dew in the morning, right? If I just, as a pastor, say, hey, let's everybody agree to this. All right, everybody agrees. And that's all that it is just persuasion. Then it's going to evaporate like the morning dew. But if it's involved more of the heart, and it's not just Joshua speaking, it's not just a him or her pastor speaking and trying to convince, right? Let me give you another example. When I perform a wedding, I can't make those couples stay together. Like, it's not like you're in a fight and you hear the sudden phone call from pastor, hey, how you guys doing? It's a great day, isn't it? Don't you guys love each other? Come on, hug right now. That doesn't happen, right? It doesn't happen. I can't make, even though they're saying I do up here, right? I can't make them stay together. It's the same here with Joshua's speech. It's the same here as a pastor that encourages you to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's got to be our own, right? We've got to have buy-in. We have to go where, again, we're part of this game. I think about the Feed My Starving Children trip, which is going to be a blast. Well, you got to have skin in the game, right? If everybody just goes, you know, I'm just going to completely take care of this trip. You just go. You don't have to do any fundraiser. You don't have to do anything that really shows that really you want to get this ticket to go to Valley Fair. Da, 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 da. There are some that would go, oh, okay, whatever, I'll go, cool, and have a bad attitude the whole time. But when you have skin in the game and you're like, I really want this. This is something I really desire. I want to do this for God. The bad attitudes go away. When it's hot and you're in a facility and you keep on pouring in and pouring in and pouring in to make these packs to go to starving children, you're not going, oh man, I'm sweating like Pastor John, man, it's hot in here. You know, like, you're doing it with all your heart because it comes from the right motives and you have buy-in and you really believe in it, right? There's a lot that a leader can do. You can counsel, you can do all those things, but at the end of the day, it comes back to the promise. Joshua is in the same boat. Joshua is nearing the end of his life, as I shared, and he's at the end of his message. And we're coming to the end of our message here. We're about to receive communion, and even our worship team can begin to come up. Joshua is coming to the end of his mission. He's coming to the end of his life, and he shares with the people. He renews the covenant, this solemn covenant, and he says, don't just do it in pretense. And Joshua walks through history and proves our God's mercy, which the Lord has given from the calling of Abraham to the day that the promise is fulfilled. So this morning, I'm calling families to a commitment to follow Christ together. Parents, individuals, families are stating, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer, as long as we live. We're going to serve the Lord. This is the kind of oath you're making as a family, and this is the kind of oath Joshua made in front of everyone, all the tribes of Israel. Maybe you're single, like I said, and you're at an age of maturity, and you know that God is not evil. You know that his character is good, he's faithful, and until the Lord expands your house, you're making a personal commitment to follow the Lord. And maybe you're going to be like Paul, and you're going to give that part of your life to him for the rest of your life. No matter where you fall, you're taking responsibility for your faith, and you're saying, I will serve the Lord. It's the best decision that you could make. It's the best affirmation you'll ever say. So in this family service, can I have everybody stand up? And I know it's not on the screen here, and it's okay that it's not. Well, there we go. Thank you. Boom. Anna, you're the best. All right, you're the best. And so what I'd like us together to say, and I don't want you to just say mere words, but I believe that this is a declaration that's to be made with all of your heart. And as the leader of my home, me and Natalie have said this many times. In fact, we have this scripture in our bathroom, probably because when you're washing your face and you're still groggy, you can look over and you can go, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But it's a constant reminder of a place that we go to in our house often to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I'd like us, if you're saying that today as a family, if you're saying that today as an individual follower of Christ, at the count of three, I'd like you to shout, to say it loud. It was a loud proclamation that was made for all of Israel. They were all committing to the covenant. They all said it as a group together. I'm going to go one, two, three, and then you say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Ready? One, two, three. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And would you just pray that out? Would you bow your heads? And ushers can come forward. We're going to begin to serve you communion. But would you just say in your heart, Lord God, I'm making a declaration today that this house will serve the Lord and my family will serve the Lord, that I will lead them in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, that I will walk in your righteousness, Jesus, that I am the righteousness of Christ, that I have been bestowed with his grace, with his mercy, with his humility. And I'm going to walk this for the rest of my life. Would you hold the elements until we all take it together as a family of God? Let us worship together.